Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang, this is Ken Carpenter bringing on a great big super-duper special Command Performance. 60 full minutes of the top guff and stuff you've asked for in those letters, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Yes, boys and gals, we're still doing business at the same old stand. But you know something? Today, that stand is 6 years old. It hardly seems possible, but that's right. Since Armed Forces Radio started sending the country's top talent your way, 6 years have rolled by. They roll very easily, too, thanks to the presence of such roly-poly fellows as His Eminence Robert Hope.
Thank you. Anyway, fellas, this is Bob Los Angeles Open Golf Tournament Hope. Telling you that I just played a warm-up practice round with Lana Turner. She's not very good with her irons, but oh, the woods. I was out on the course yesterday, and I got a 70. Most of the other caddies only got tipped 50 or 60. But really, I play a pretty good game of golf. Last year, I won a cup. It's a swell cup. It came with a rubber mat. Shame how far you have to go to get a lap. I hit one ball today and it landed up in a tree in a nest. The swallow kept poking and yelling, "Hurry up and hatch, we're late now." You know, when anybody hollers four on a golf course, you're supposed to look around to see if the ball is coming your way. They told me they threw cold water over me. And I don't know what Crosby's done since he stopped racing his horses, but he was carrying the first golf bag I ever saw with a tail. One guy kept cracking walnuts to make Crosby nervous, but they caught me. And, I'm going to play in another tournament next week with Bing Crosby. Bing isn't going to dress sloppy anymore. Today, the caddy tipped his hat to Bing's golf bag and flung Bing over his shoulder. On the 17th hole, I took a swing at the ball and missed. I took another full swing at the ball and missed. And I took another swing at the ball and missed. And I took another swing. Finally, a gopher came out of the hole and said, "For crying out loud, stop making a draft. My wife is taking a bath." I got a par in the last hole. I was so excited, I walked up to an old lady in the crowd and said, "I went around in the 80s. She said, "I know it. I'm the girl you went with."
See you later, Bob. Well, gang, a lot of water has gone under the bridge in the 6 years of Armed Forces Radio. When we started, some of you were out there fighting to win a war. Now, a lot of you are overseas working to win a peace. During those fighting years, just as now, our aim was mainly to send you a slice of home. Home was comedians and news, variety shows and education, reports on the state of stocks, reports on the state of baseball teams. And home was also the occasional voice of a girl. A girl like your top favorite, still a faithful, hard-working friend of Armed Forces Radio, Dinah Command Performance Shore.
Imagine you imagining that you love me and starting on a family tree. Imagine starting on a family tree. The papa is you and the mama is me. If your heart goes bumpity bump, it's love, love, love. If your throat comes up with a lump, it's love, love, love. If your knees go knockety-knock, it's love, love, love. If your cuckoo likes a cuckoo in the clock, it's love, yes, it's love. Imagine you complete with running dog and a cat. Imagine having running dog and a cat. And we will have welcome all over the mat. If your heart goes bump, it is bump. It's love, love, love. If your throat comes up with a lump, it's love, love, love. If your knees don't knock it enough, it's love, love, love. If you're cuckoo like the cuckoo in the club, it's love, love, love. If your knees don't knock it enough, and your heart goes bumpity bump, then it's love, baby, then it's love.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Much obliged. Now the Corny Command Theater. Happy Carpenter. Roll out the talk and set the stage.
Okay, Dinah. Well, fellas, our musical turkey tonight takes place in the mountains of Tennessee. Dinah McDonald is the belle of the Big Smokies. Bing Crosby is the traveling salesman. And I'm Dinah's father, Big Smokey McDonald. The starring role, as any fool can plainly see, Ticker Freeman is at the player piano. As the sun slips down behind the ridge, Crosby slips up to the front door of our little cabin.
I'm not working in these mountains just for fun. I'm not working in these mountains just for fun. I'm a traveling salesman cousin, selling songs to bits a dozen. I'm a swooning, crooning, singing son of a gun.
Hey, Paul, that's our mountain lions are yowling again tonight.
Well, that ain't no mountain lion, gal. That's a hootie owl.
Hootie owl, hey? Sounds like a woodpecker.
Well, maybe it's a human being a-knocking on the door. Open her up, gal.
Good evening, friend.
Well, hand me my long tom rifle, gal. It's that cussed revenuer from Nashville.
Now calm your qualms, my hillbilly square. It's honest Bing Crosby, a man who plays fair. I'm as pamp in the mountains of old Tennessee with the pamphlet of songs my poor mother taught me. Retailing this week at only a buck, which after withholding tax leaves half a buck.
Hey, Paul, look, there ain't nary a picture in this book. Nothing but straight lines and little black dots.
Well, I'll go get my rifle.
Get it, Paul.
Them there dots you refer to, gal, them's musical notes. For example, let us turn to page number one. The little black dots reads as follows. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Pretty bubbles in the air.
What do they do up there?
They fly so high, they nearly reach the sky. Tomorrow, Dean, if you're full of bubbles, you're gonna be high.
Oh, Paul, ain't that pretty?
Just a little
bit. That's prettier than a picture. Mr. Crosby, I sure wish I could read them little black notes.
I know how you feel. I wish I could. But this here is simple. Now, right here is page two. Cozy up here, Shorts, and I'll show you my etchings in B-flat. Put your arms around me, honey. Yeah, that's right.
You mean huddle up and cuddle up with all my might.
Now, gal, won't you roll them up?
Hey, boss, this guy is just about my size.
You're learning, guys. You're learning a bit too fast, but learning. Now, here, try this one on page three.
I like mountain music. Good old mountain music. Played by a real hillbilly band. Say, Mr. Crosby, this little book you hear is fun.
Grand fun and clean, too. You know, with this here little book of mine, you'll be able to spend many happy evenings alone. Alone by yourself in the hills, my dear.
But I'm tired of being all alone. And you know, Mr. Crosby, like it says here on page four, as long as you're not in love with anyone else, why don't you fall in love with me?
because, gal, like it say here on page 5, you must remember this. You are just a mountain mist. And I'm a city guy.
And that reminds me, I got to get back to the city.
Listen here, mister. You see my paw over there cleaning his long-time rifle?
Over yonder?
Yes, sir. Like it reads here on page 6. Take it easy. Take it easy. If you want to keep your health, you hadn't better go. Take it easy. Take it easy. All my pappy's trigger finger's gonna slip.
Take it easy. You didn't take it easy enough. Holy smokes, this is bad. At this rate, I won't get home till Christmas. Don't nobody wait up for me. Look, gal, have a heart. I only came here to sell one poor little old measly book of songs.
The trouble is, Mr. Crosby, you oversold it. You ain't never getting away from me. On account of, I've decided I love you. In fact, I love everything about you. Everything except your clothes. I loved your pretty voice. Ah, yes, that pretty voice. How Sinatra would enjoy it. He would sit all night and listen.
You're very kind, gal. Well, I hate to tell you this, but I can't stand no woman. Especially I can't stand you.
You can't stand me, the bell of the Big Smoky? Why?
Because your feet's too big. Mad at you because your feet's too big.
I got my boots, eh?
Now from your ankles up, you sure are neat, but from there on down, there's just too much feet. Feet too big. Can't stand you because your feet's too big.
Look who all's talking. Like it says here on page 7 in your ridiculous little song.
What'd you say there?
A guy whose horses lose in all the races. A guy who bulges in the darndest places. The stork don't ration bean. These foolish things remind me of you.
You see? You're getting mighty bodacious there, gal, but we ain't going to quarrel looking over that paw and his long tom rifle. This joint ain't no worse than stage 5 at Paramount. I'm going to stay. Yes, sir. Hey there, Big Smokey McDonald.
What you all saying, Cousin Crosby?
I'm going to marry your daughter Dinah and stay here on one condition.
What's that our condition?
The pigs have got to sleep outside.
Well, all right, but the goat stays with me.
You can sell it to the goat.
And boy, you ain't going to regret your decision. You know, there's opportunity here in the mountains.
Opportunity?
Why, the show is. Look out through that gunny sack in the window. There's gold in them there hills.
Gold, McDonald?
Well, there sure is. Like it say here on page 8 of your ridiculous little songbook.
When people look for booze, there ain't much to choose. But we will make the kind that you would like to find. It won't be gin or scotch. All right, but after all, what can you buy? So we'll build a little still out there upon the hill and let the rest of the world go dry.
Well, Dinah, I guess we can put our shoes back on now, huh?
I guess we're going to need to.
How come?
Well, you and I are going dancing in the dark, Mr. Dan.
Look at me, I'm dancing. What though love is old? What though song is old? Through them we can be young.
If this heart of mine make your thought of mine,
dear one, tell me that we're one, dancing in the dark, till the tune We're dancing in the dark, and it's soon end.
We're waltzing in the wonder of why here. Time is time, we're here and gone.
Looking for the light. To brighten up the night, I have you, love, and we can face the music together, dancing in the dark.
Thanks a lot, Dinah and Bing. You're two of the brightest candles on our sixth birthday cake. You and Bob Hope are among our most beloved regulars.
Now, men, here's another command performance regular. One of the most regular guys in show business, or any business, Frank Sinatra.
Oh, thank
you very much for them kind words, Miss Dinah. Just for that, I'd like to take you out to dinner tonight.
Oh, well, I'd be delighted to come, Frank.
Well, wait a minute, Dinah. What about the big evening I had planned for you? Robert Hope's boy, Junior, son. Thanks.
Well, Bob. Bob, we can postpone it. After all, we can always go down to the corner gas station and smell Petra Ethel.
Wait a minute, Dinah. I can take you out to the finest place that I was working on your line. You notice that, don't you?
You didn't do a very good job.
I tried. I had my face stretched up to the balcony. Dinah, I can take you out to the finest places in Hollywood. I'm doing pretty good with Paramount. You know, 3 years ago, I signed a contract over there, $500 a week, and yesterday, I just signed another contract, $500 a week.
That doesn't show much improvement, buddy.
Yeah, but this time, they pay me.
Now, come on, Bob. Why don't you leave Dinah and me alone? Gee, Dinah, you're one of the sweetest girls I've ever met. You're so pretty, and you got such lovely eyes.
Oh, I think you're nice, too. You're so cute and sweet and charming.
You know, I've got a feeling I've seen this picture.
Oh, wait a minute, lover boy. Excuse me, will you, Dinah? Mm-hmm. I've got to put this character in his place.
Hide me, somebody. Hide me, quick. Get a load of this rugged boy. Look at those shoulders.
Where? Where? Oh, boy, look at your shoulders. Do they come off, hey?
Frank, this happens to be a pre-war Hart, Schaffner, and Mark suit.
A pre-war Hart, Schaffner, and Mark?
Yes, the left shoulder's Hart and the right shoulder's Schaffner.
Where's Mark?
He took one look at the suit and re-enlisted. Seriously, though, Frank, I don't need clothes to help my figure. What word knocked you out? What one? If you're ever in trouble, we have your oxygen right on the side. Either that or they're going to pull the producer's tooth or something. Say, here, Frank, feel my muscle. Feel.
First of all, let me look at the script, will you?
Feel my muscle. We might as well get ready for television. Go ahead.
You know something? That reminds me, I'm supposed to buy a hot water bottle on my way home. But you know, Robin, I've got some pretty good muscles myself. Feel.
Is that your muscle, or are you wearing your Adam's apple low today? Say, that is pretty solid at that.
Please, you're crushing my fountain pen. kidding aside, I've always been a fan of yours, and if you don't mind a little constructive criticism, I'd like to offer a little advice.
What is it, Frank?
Well, you see, I think you'd appeal to women more in your pictures if you had a better physique.
Why, Frank, you've seen my love scenes before the camera.
Why, do you have them anywhere else?
Listen, no shoulders. I'll have you know. No shoulders. That was good. I'll have you know that around Hollywood, I'm known as a great lover. My reputation even touches parts of Glendale.
With that profile, you could not only touch parts of Glendale, you could black out half of Eagle Rock.
I'd hit you if you were standing up. He hasn't got the muscles, but he's got the line.
Hey, you want to know something?
Wait, I heard a snicker. Wait. Or was that somebody coughing? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I don't do so bad with the women either. I guess it's because I'm the caveman type.
You say caveman or cave-in?
Frank, you don't know what love is.
Yeah, scientists don't know what electricity is either, but they know how to use it.
You're getting into Orson Welles' racket now.
No kidding, Bob. No kidding. I was out with a girl last night. When she refused to dance, I just tossed her over my shoulder and tossed her too.
Yeah, Margaret O'Brien told me all about it.
Frankie, you're really a disappointment.
What do you mean?
Well, just think of it. You and Bing, the two top crooners in the country. One hasn't got any hair on his chest. The other hasn't got any on his head.
Well, at least I don't have to wear a toupee in my chest.
Uh-huh.
How can you have two straight lines in a row? That's what I want.
I'm a little confused. There was something funny through there somewhere. I don't know.
You know, I want to say one thing, though. You shouldn't say that about Bing's chest. After all, Bing doesn't dislike you, you know. He doesn't dislike you.
He doesn't?
No, he thinks you're one of the greatest guys that almost lives. In a way, though, you're even luckier than Bing. Everywhere you go, you have the girls following you.
Well, gosh, what do you call what follows Crosby?
More Crosby. But why should we stand here plugging old cricket throat when you got here to rub your... Why should we plug him, Frank, when we got you here to rub your vocal cords together?
Well, if that's an introduction to a song, Bob, I'll take it. Thank you. You can go now. If I don't see her each day, I miss her. Gee, what a thrill each time I kiss her. Believe me, I've got a case on Nancy with a laughing face. She takes the winter and makes it summer. Summer could take some lessons from her. Picture a tomboy in lace. That's Nancy with a laughing face. Did you ever hear mission bells ringing? Well, she'll give you the very same glow. When she speaks, you would think it was singing. Just hear her say hello. I swear to goodness, you can't resist her. Sorry for you, she has no sister. It's heaven when I embrace Nancy, with a laughing face.
Wonderful, Frank. And all you guys, now, stick around for the rest of the party. Well, boys and girls, on our sixth birthday, we decided to get away from Hollywood for a minute and make you a present of a visit to the bright spots of New York. We found a peachy keen guide to show us the sights, and here she is, Claudette Woohoo Colbert.
Thank you, Ken, and hello there, fellas.
Well, Claudette, this birthday trip has to be pretty darned authentic, you know. You know every nook and cranny of the big city?
That's my problem, Ken. New York's so immense and so many attractions that, well, in order not to miss anything, I've got to have a dyed-in-the-wool New Yorker to escort me around. A man with culture and old-world charm. And above all, a man I can be fond of in a strictly maternal way.
Come in, Mother!
I'm glad to see you, Jimmy, but are you sure you know New York?
Do I? I was the first guy to walk my dog past the tree that grows in Brooklyn.
I see. Well, I don't think you're the ideal man to act as my escort.
And upon what, pray tell, do you base your elegrations?
Jimmy, did you ever fondle a crêpe Suzette?
Miss Colbert, my love life is my own.
Well, I need someone who will keep me from being jostled on the dance floor.
Jostled?
Uh-huh.
Even if I knew what it meant, I wouldn't let him do it to you.
Well, I'll give you a chance. Now, how familiar are you really with New York?
Why, Claudette. You will notice I use the diminutive instead of the subjunctive. I happen to be a local boy. I was born on the sidewalks of New York. Naturally, my parents got a ticket for parking. And I wasn't 20 minutes old when some guy hitched his horse to my nose.
Naturally.
Now let's take a walk down Broadway and I'll show you the sights.
Why, hello there, Jimmy.
That's Gertrude Lawrence, all dressed up in a mink coat. And look who's coming now.
How do you do, Mr. Durante?
That was Helen Hayes, all dressed up in her sable coat.
What?
Gypsy Rose Lee.
You know, Jimmy, I'm enjoying this tour of New York. Such interesting characters.
Quite. They're so droll. You notice I snuck. That's the way they spelt it. You notice I sometimes lapse into the vernacular.
Yeah, and sometimes the vernacular lapses right back at you. Look, Jimmy. Oh, say, who is this bedraggled-looking individual coming toward us?
Oh, just the panhandler.
I beg your pardon. Could you spare a nickel for a cup of coffee?
On your way, bum.
Now, just a minute. I am Ronald Coleman.
What, you, Ronald Coleman?
Yes.
The real Ronald Coleman?
Yes.
On your way, bum.
I appeal to you, Miss Colbert. You must remember me. I'm Ronald Coleman.
Well, you look like Ronald Coleman, but you don't talk like him. He has an English accent.
Yeah, like mine.
You. You pass yourself off as an Englishman?
Why, of course. I'm English through and through.
Really, Jimmy?
To be sure. Why, from my head to my toe, I'm solid crumpet.
Listen, I am Ronald Coleman.
How can you be Ronald Coleman? He's a big Hollywood star. He's wealthy and famous. He don't go around putting a bite on people for nickels.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but I've been wandering aimlessly around the streets for days, not knowing how I got here or where I came from or what happened to my belongings. All I know is that I'm Ronald Coleman and I'm a victim of amnesia.
Amnesia? I get the same thing, but it goes away when I take bicarbonate.
You don't know what amnesia is. To be suddenly isolated from all past experience. To walk in oblivion, helpless, drifting, without a friend in the world.
This guy must be Umbriago.
Well, it sounds very convincing, Jimmy, but I'm sure this man isn't what he claims.
Of course not. He's just an imposter.
We're wasting time, Jimmy. Give the man some money and let's go.
Okay, chum. Here's your nickel.
Oh, monsieur, merci, merci.
How do you like that? The guy doesn't even thank you.
Jimmy, now that we've seen New York through a beer mug, how about the champagne side? I'd like to visit an exclusive nightclub.
Your wish is my command. Come with me, and I'll take you to a place where we can rub noses with the elite.
Well, you've certainly got the edge on me there.
I'll give anyone $5 if he show me that line in the script.
Jimmy, listen. Are you sure you know the people in the social register well enough so we can get into this club?
Of course. There ain't a tea party given on Park Avenue that I'm not invited to slosh the little bag around.
Well, gosh, I never realized you were such a bon vivant.
There you go, pulling that Spanish on me again. I'll have you know that whenever I meet a beautiful debutante on the street, I invariably doff my chapeau.
Doff your chapeau?
Blow my top. You know, in fact, hobnocking with society are dogged drills. Right as well give me them words. In fact, hobnodding with society dockages is my 40. I always carry a dry rag to wipe their laryngeals. I finally got that one.
Really?
Indubitably. You see, I happen to be a member of the 399.
The 399? You mean the 400?
We had to ostracize Alfred Vanderbilt. Caught the bounder cheating at badminton.
Cheating at badminton?
Loaded feathers in his shuttlecock. Well. Well, we're almost there, Claudie.
Where?
At the Rue Marchand La Rubourne. You have to eat a piece of lemon to say that.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, here he is again, the guy who thinks he's Ronald Coleman.
Yeah, I know it's an imposition, but could you spare a nickel for a cup of coffee?
This was the tastiest bum I ever saw.
Look, we just gave you a nickel for a cup of coffee. Now you want another nickel for another cup of coffee.
I'm expecting company for dinner.
Greer Garson, perchance? Listen, Bud, you're a good kid and all that, but why don't you lay off that Ronald Coleman stuff?
I tell you, I am Ronald Coleman. Oh, the irony of it. Here I am, an actor called a bum by a bum who calls himself an actor.
But now, you see, if we were only sure you were Ronald Coleman, if you could only give us some proof.
Ah, that's the tragic situation I find myself in. I have nothing to identify myself, nothing. If I were Charles Lawton, for example, I could recite, Mr. Christian, I'll see you hanging from the highest yardarm in the British Navy. And if I were Edward G. Robinson, I could say, now look, you mugs, I'm the boss, see? And anything I say goes, see? Don't forget that, see? That's all, see? Well, and even Even Lassie has a trademark.
Whoa, whoa!
But what has Ronald Coleman got to prove who he is? There's a pair of initials on his chest.
Oh, Jimmy, we've made a great mistake. This must be Mr. Coleman. No bum would have initials on his shirt.
I don't know about that. I got initials on all my haberdashery. Not to mention the lace on my underwear. Mr. Coleman, my apologies.
Mr. Durante accepted.
Touché.
Ronald, would you care to join us? Jimmy and I were just about to go into this nightclub.
Oh, you mean the Rue Maison de la Ruban Bleu Dieu?
I like it better my way.
All right, well, let's go in.
Say, garçon, can we have a table for three?
Betty Hutton, one of the great command performance favorites, is about to entertain. Here she comes.
downtown, uptown, east side, west side. What's left?
What's left? Oh, yes, there's one place you simply must see. It's the place I hope to settle down. I don't want an ivy-covered cottage or a penthouse where the stars hang overhead. I just want to be where the citizens agree that instead of getting up, they should have stood in bed. I'm gonna hang my hat on a tree that grows in Brooklyn. I'm gonna dip my feet in Gowanus's canal.
How I long for old green points and that certain one-armed joint where a fella ain't ashamed to take his gal.
We want your top coat. I want to be there when that Canarsie sun goes down. Where every doctor gets new clients each time the Dodgers play the Giants.
I'm gonna hang my hat in Brooklyn,
where something's always cooking.
I'm gonna hang my hat on a tree in Brooklyn town.
We'll murder up. R is for the red hot on the street.
Jimmy, when you say red hot, you mean Frank?
No, when I say red hots, I mean Danes.
O is for the ocean at Far Rockaway. And O is for the oysters that you eat.
Stop the music. Stop the music. Oysters are spelled with an E.
This is spelt with an O, like in Boyd.
I stand corrected.
K and L mean absolutely nothing. Y and M keep getting in the way.
Put them all together.
That grows in Brooklyn.
When Mother Nature slips Mother Earth a Mickey Finn, give me Benson Hurst in June, where each Sunday afternoon you can feel the rigor mortis setting in.
I want to carve my name on a tree that grows in Brooklyn. I want to carve my name on the tree.
Where parents name their children Roscoe.
Because it rhymes with Kosciuszko.
I'm going to hang my hat in Brooklyn, where the guys are all worth looking. I'm going to hang my hat on a tree in Brooklyn town.
And make the San Fernando Valley my...
Oh. That's our birthday visit to New York. Yes, gang, for 6 years we've tried to deliver what you want, sent you your favorite programs. In the war years, we had a flock of our own special programs, too. We're kind of proud of them. Like G.I. Journal and Mail Call. Some of them, like Jubilee and G.I. Jill and Command Performance, still go on. We of Command still try to fill as many requests as possible. And we've noticed that whether your letter was written during a brief pause in the Battle of the Bulge or during a brief intermission in the sweating-out period at a hospital, the bulk of the orders has been for music. Sweet music, the kind parceled out to the next guest at our party, Dennis Day. Say goodbye, Dennis. Better sing fast, Dennis. There comes Jack Benny.
Was the last time I saw you, the last time, or can I hold? I saw you the last time. Or will you give love one more have made you doubt me, want to live without me, loving me no more. From the first time I saw you, I loved you, and to me, you were romance. Was the last time I saw you, the last time. Or will you give love?
Supposed to answer a request for one of Hollywood's most glamorous actresses, but unfortunately she hasn't shown up yet. I don't know just what to do about it, but well, she's not here. Gee, I
nice ad libbing, kid. That's keeping the show rolling right along. You know what I mean?
Well, gosh, Mr. Benny, Rita Hayworth was supposed to be here, but she's been delayed at the studio. I had Columbia Pictures on the phone a little while ago, but I couldn't get anywhere with them.
Hand me that phone, kid. Maybe I can help you out. You know, it's one thing when Dennis Day calls the studio, another when they hear the name Jack Benny.
Good afternoon, Columbia.
Columbia Pictures?
It ain't the river where the salmon goes to spawn.
Don't be so fresh. I'd like to talk to Rita Hayworth.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to disturb her. She's on the set.
It'll be perfectly all right. I'm a friend of hers. This is Jack Benny.
Whose friend did you say you were?
Jack Benny. I mean, I'm Jack Benny. I'm nobody's friend. I mean, I'm a friend of Jack Hayworth. Rita Hayworth.
Oh, you're Jack Benny.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm sorry I infringed on your nickel. I'll give you the set.
Thanks.
One moment, please.
I'm a fine operator. I've gotten better service if I dialed a coffee grinder.
Stage three.
I'd like to speak to Miss Hayworth, please.
Okay, I'll, would you hold the line a minute? She's going to shoot a scene right now.
I'll wait.
Quiet, everybody. Quiet. We're rolling.
I wonder how long I'll have to...
All right, Miss Hayworth, start talking as you open the door. Action.
Oh, Robert. Robert, darling.
What an actor. What pathos.
Robert, my love.
What feeling. Who's Robert?
Oh, Robert, darling, it's been so long since I've seen you. Kiss me, Robert. Don't speak, just kiss me.
Gee.
Kiss me again, darling.
Oh, boy, that was a long one.
Robert, kiss me again to make up for all the time we've been separated.
Mm.
Oh, my darling, once more.
Very good, Miss Hayworth. Very good.
Hayworth, you're wanted on the phone.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Hello. Hello, who is this calling, please? Tell me, who's calling?
I can't. My lips are stuck in the mouthpiece. I said, I... It's all right now. Rita, I'd like to ask you a little favor. Would you,
Just a minute. Who is this?
Can't you guess?
Well, really, I haven't the slightest idea.
Oh, come on, guess.
Well...
Now, I'll give you a hint. Who used to have the dressing room next to yours over at Warner Brothers?
Oh, hello, Ingrid.
Ingrid, I'm not Ingrid Bergman, although I've had plenty of people spellbound. Look, Ingrid's dressing room was on one side of yours. Now, who was on the other side?
That was the washroom.
Only part of it. Rita, this is Jack Benny. The reason I called you is I'm over here at Command Performance.
Oh, Dennis Day's program.
Yes, he's here too, huh?
Well, I'm sorry I've been held up. I'm very anxious to come over to Command and answer the request.
Well, by the way, Rita, what is this request you're answering?
Oh, the one that wanted me to kiss the most bashful man in Hollywood. I assume that's Dennis Day.
Oh, the most bashful... I see. Well, make it as fast as you can, will you, Rita?
Okay, Jack. See you soon.
Well, I fixed that for you, kid. Rita Hayworth will be over any minute.
She will? Gosh, is my tie on straight? Is my suit pressed? Is my hair combed?
Tie on straight, my suit pressed? What are you, a baby? I thought the Navy made a man out of you.
But gee, Rita Hayworth.
Gee, Rita Hayworth. What has Rita Hayworth got?
You mean that I wouldn't cheerfully die for it?
That's the wrong attitude. Women are just men's playthings. You should think... Dennis, you should think of a woman as nothing but a toy to enjoy for a while.
Really?
Certainly.
Dear Santa Claus.
No, Dennis, you'll never get anywhere with women unless you're sophisticated and suave. When Rita gets here, you've got to act cool, aloof. If you're bashful, you'll get nowhere with her.
I won't?
Of course not. Now remember, you're cool and aloof.
Well, all right, Mr. Benny, if you say so.
Come in. Well, Rita Hayworth.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Rita.
How are you, Dennis?
Cool and aloof, thank you.
Yes, Rita, you're looking at a new Dennis Day. He's a man of the world now. Girl in every port. Suave, sophisticated, dangerous.
Dennis, is this true?
Gee, I hope so.
You ought to see this kid's address book. What phone number? Wow.
I've got it right here in my pocket. Look, here's an interesting number. Bradshaw 12345.
Who is that?
I don't know, but isn't it an interesting number?
What a sense of humor. This boy's getting to be a real devil.
Well, this certainly throws a new light on the request I received about kissing the most bashful man in Hollywood. Who can I possibly get to? Who can I possibly get to help me answer?
Well, gee, Rita. God. I... Chuck. Oh, boy. Golly, gee whiz. Chuck. Golly, oh, gee. Gosh, all Willikin. Heavens to Betsy yet. Gee, shuckin'.
For goodness sake, Jack, what's wrong? Why are you twisting your hat like that?
Gosh, I'm so bashful, I can't help twisting my hat.
Well, you'd better take it off your head. You're loosening your hair.
is God.
Mr. Benny, what's the trouble? I've never seen you act this way before.
You wouldn't understand. No man of the world could appreciate the feelings of a shy kid like myself.
Look, Jack, you're just angling for a kiss. I came down here to answer a request to kiss Jenny Say. And that's just what I'm going to do.
You're going to kiss me? Gee whiz. Gosh. Golly.
Those are my lines.
Now, pucker up, Dennis.
This is awful. I refuse to be a witness to this disgraceful exhibition. I'm nobody's second fiddle.
What are you going to do, Mr. Benny?
Wait, like say that. I'm nobody's second fiddle.
Oh. What are you going to do, Mr. Benny?
I got plenty I can do. Hand me that phone. Hello, operator. Operator, I want Bradshaw 12345. Say, who can tell? It might even be a redhead.
Thank you, Jack, Reed, and Dennis, for a wonderful contribution to our birthday party. Now, back to our other guests, the Vine Street Rover Boys, that fun-loving Robert, fantastic Frankie, and bulging Bing. They've been yearning to present us with a soul-stirring aria to provide the topping for this anniversary cake. To make it a great big three-egg cake, here go the boys with their own special perversion of If I Had My Way. So let's let them sing it, shall we? Take over, you guys.
You sing the baritone, and say, fellas, actually, the thing should not be sung as a trio.
No, it's really a quartet.
And we haven't got a tenor. Brother, we're stuck.
Say nothing of the audience.
Boys, couldn't we get a tenor?
Well, there's only one tenor in the country who can sing it with us.
Only one tenor?
Only one tenor.
Only one tenor?
Only one tenor.
Jerry Colombo!
Who's got the lead here?
Me?
If I had my way,
living this way, too, you know.
A thousand and one things, dear, I would do.
You may be safe right down Vine Street for this.
Just for you. Just for you. Just for you.
Two beers.
If I
like Mercy,
and sunshine I bring every day.
Well, I'm okay. I'm okay. I happen to know I've had that note for years.
Oh, no.
It's the plot. They're going to drop you.
I wouldn't do it, but I happen to know the man from McDonald's Drive-In is out there.
You would ring.
Thanks. I have relatives everywhere.
You would reign all alone like a queen.
Oh, my. I beg your pardon. I ate at Bing's house. I ate a horse again tonight.
Why don't you spit it out? Might be a watch or something.
I'm afraid it would come up sideways.
On
just a second.
I mean, they're trying to get a bath, and what do? You smear it.
Let's get in, kids. We're building the egg here. Let's knock it.
I like a queen on a throne. If I
finish and we exit to the right.
Start running now.
That's all. Cut!
There you have it, gang. That burns out the last candle, tops dry the punch bowl, and takes the cake. It's been a special full-hour jamboree designed to climax Armed Forces Radio's sixth year of trying to please the boss. That's you. We're going to keep trying, boys and girls. We hope to keep pitching as long as you're out there catching. For the moment, thanks for your swell letters, lots of luck, and so long, everybody. Was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.